Some of you may probably know that Bishop Mark reflected on the readings we've just heard today in a YouTube that was on the website last week, and he did it as soon as he heard that a Mass was going to be restored. And he began with the opening words that we heard from Zechariah: "Rejoice, heart and soul, daughter of Jerusalem. Shout with gladness, daughter of Zion." And there is that sense in which there's a great joy to be here back at Mass and to see each other. But also I think we're very conscious of how few maybe we are and how many are still remaining in isolation. Many, many people, not just older people, different people have said they're remaining in isolation either because of their families or for themselves or whatever it is. And in a way, Zechariah is writing after the many years that the people had spent in exile in Babylon and were returning to Jerusalem. Well, we've been in that sort of exile, not for donkey's years, but only for a few months. But nevertheless, it still feels like an exile. And as we come back, we don't have to rebuild. But as you can see, we've had to reconfigure the church so we can get 72 of you in, if there are 72 that want to come in. And of course, we don't know how St. Ives may be if all the people that are coming into Cornwall that we keep hearing about, of course. But most of us say that the days that we've spent in exile have sped by in a strange way, thinking it'll seem interminable. But amazingly, here we are in July, and you think, well, what happened in between? It seems a long time since we saw each other, and yet it's been that strange time. Well, Zechariah's people came back after years away. We'd have to rebuild, but as I say, we've gone on changing the place so that we can properly use it. But what we've discovered is also we can't just do what we want. You can't always sit maybe in the seat that you've always sat in because it's not right, or there's something. All of those sort of things. And also we need, because we're coming back, respect that distance for each other. Why we said wear a mask, because if you do that here, in all the three churches actually, if we go for that 1 meter plus, we can get more in. If you go to the 2 meters, we should be further apart and less people. So you can see there's that respect for each other. But when you hear that Zechariah reading, I'm sure you think immediately of Palm Sunday, that king coming gloriously, triumphant, humble, riding on the donkey. We come back to Jesus, who comes not on that war horse to conquer, but bringing peace. And that's why in every Mass we remember, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, part of the Sanctus, part of all that, the Benedictus there. It's an important part, you see, because it reminds us that is our Lord, humble, but he does come to us as we've come now, thankfully, back to him. Not that he wasn't with us, but we come back to him. So much to rejoice as we return. And I'll pray tribute to those parishioners who've enabled all that's happened in this last week to enable us to be here tonight. And so that psalm, beautiful psalm of praise of God's mighty works, tells us about God too, who's kind, full of compassion, slow to anger, abounding in love, compassionate to all. What images, you see, we need to have. People are very questioning at the moment about God and what's going on and all that. The Lord always reminds us there in that psalm of what he's like. So it's a good psalm to have on our lips and in our hearts as we hope a bit more normality coming to life. What, of course, we've been missing at one level is the spiritual, of course, because the doors of the house of the Lord have necessarily been locked. Yes, of course, you can, and you have prayed at home and elsewhere. I know you've been live streaming, somebody been to Paris, somebody been to Ireland, somebody been to Canada, somebody been to Plymouth, Westminster, Walsingham, wherever it is. Live streaming, of course, has gone on, acts of worship across the world. But as Catholics, we know that that King comes to us and invites us to come to him. That Word made flesh, who dwelt among us to feed and nourish us sacramentally. That's why for us it is important to come back in feeding us with his own body and blood. And then Bishop Mark went on to reflect on that gospel. He also did say the homily should be short. But I can't let some of his words pass us by. Because he chose that gospel when he was ordained 30 years ago, I think last week or the week before. The gospel opens with Jesus speaking of his Father, revealing his mysteries to mere children. And Bishop Mark drew out the emphasis on littleness and humility for all of us as disciples of Jesus, still so relevant today. He spoke of our humble diocese, great in generosity and loving service, yet relatively low, small in numbers. It's always he says, this is Bishop Mark writing, it's always amazed me how much is done, how much influence and impact there is by a parish community, where there is a relatively small portion of local people going to the church. And then the gospel situates Jesus' life in his loving Father's relationship with him. We hear him say, everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. Bishop Mark went on, if the last few months have taught us anything, it is the reality that as human beings, we are not masters of our world, nor should we see ourselves as merely victims of blind fate. That is potentially one of the most damaging aspects of these past months. Because this virus seems to be able to hit any of us at any time, we may be tempted to believe that our life and our imminent death does not matter. Am I just another statistic? He asks. But goes on. In the face of these troubling realities, it's important to be reminded that God is our Father. He looks at us, each of us, with the selfsame love which he looks at eternally at his Son. And I know you've heard me say before, Cardinal Hume always said, he loves you so much, he can't take his eyes off you. Not to catch you out, but because he loves you with so much love. Bishop Mark, then, he says, this is the consolation and the immense power of our faith, that closeness to Jesus. We're brought into the very life of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, if this is true for us, then it's an offer, a truth available to every human being. And we need to spread that to those that we meet and we say, I know we can't meet socially, we can't talk easily to people, but we can get across to them that love of the Father that he has for all of his people. We then hear the very familiar words back to Bishop Mark and the ongoing situation. Do we not need to hear them again? Come to me, all you who labour and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Shoulder my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yes, my yoke is easy and my burden light. And there's three words come in that, and I won't be much longer now. It's come, take, learn. Today we come. We've come back to him sacramentally. The Lord knows how arduous our life can be at all times, even more so in the lockdown times. He knows things can weary the heart, disappointment, wounds of the past, burdens to carry, wrongs to bear, disappointments, uncertainties, worries about the future. But in the face of all this, Jesus' first word is, come. Come. That's why we're here. And the mistake when things go wrong is to stay where we are, lying there, moaning. Obviously, people still in isolation, that is different. But often we can lie there moaning in our sort of, you know, and not coming. We come to the Lord. And when we come, he says, take my yoke upon you. Remember, a yoke isn't a burden. It's a piece of equipment, a double collar, which two beasts of burden are linked together. Being linked together means that they share that burden, not one or the other carrying more than the other. They share that. He says, come with me. That's my yoke. And he bears it for us, taking that sort of relief and rest, because the Lord is with us, bearing that burden for us. That's why at the heart of divine mercy is the reality that Jesus has relief, has come to him, join us himself to us, as it were, into that yoke that's us. And it's empowering us, lifting it, and empowering us with his strength and his spirit. And then he says, learn. So we come, we take, we learn. We learn because he daily teaches us. That's why we've got the readings. That's why I'm quite keen that we had the newsletter again and that you've got the readings there to take away with you. All teaching and the front. We always find the front of our newsletter beam. That's what we've missed these last few weeks. We haven't had that. And then there it is, to teach us of him who is the way, the truth, and the life through our life, so that we can take up that cross daily and follow him, because Jesus awaits us, not magically to solve our problems, but to strengthen us amid our problems. And that's why we can rejoice in heart and soul. The Lord is with us.